Mike and I were talking about the new kits for Atlanta United, which are cool. Listen, and you know, for the most part, I'm a traditional guy. I like traditional things. When you have a jersey that works, stay with it. But we know that this is the MO of all these sports leagues, Mike. And Atlanta United is no different from the standpoint, you know, every couple of years you upgrade and you change the jerseys and we have that alternative jersey. So this is something that's going to happen, you know, from now until the end of time with our team. But here to talk with us, man, is a guy that's about to hit the road with Atlanta United as we get ready for CONCACAF. Champions League is starting this Thursday for Atlanta United. It's Jason Longshore, the first of many visits, guys, of a very long season with MLS approaching and obviously all the other tournaments we're going to be involved with. But, Jason, first and foremost, good to see you, man, in studio. I know you stopped by during the season, and this is the first. You got a little butterflies in your belly for this?
Yeah, I love the CONCACAF Champions League. It's a fun tournament where you get to see some different competition, different styles of play, different types of fields and stadiums and all kinds of things going on. It's such a cool peek at soccer outside of the country. And to go face a team like Herediano in Costa Rica where you have players playing for their futures. You have a club who won the Costa Rican title in December but is now struggling. They're probably not going to make the playoffs in their domestic league. This series is everything to them right now.
And that's the thing that Michael Parker has told us last week, saying, you know, as a veteran of some of these CONCACAF playoffs, he said, you know, the field quality is something you're concerned about. And one thing, and we don't want to sound like nervous.
Luckily, that's not the case here. You're playing on turf. It's a good situation here. The draw is difficult for Atlanta in terms of quality of competition, but in terms of those things,
right,
it worked out really well. You're playing Herediano and then potentially Monterrey, who's in one of the best stadiums in Mexico.
Nice, because remember, it was a couple years back, 2 years ago, our first season, for guys that remember Joseph Martinez playing for Venezuela, got hurt, and we missed him for a chance. He could have been MVP perhaps two times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It is our man Jason Longshore, guys. He and Mike are heading down, I presume on Delta, down to Costa Rica for this CONCACAF match. The Nagby situation, whatever was going on there, is that all behind us now?
Yeah, according to Frank DeBoer and Darlington Nagby himself, he is back in the squad. Darlington said he's going to have to earn that trust of the manager and of the first team. He's going to have to play his way back in because we see it every time in any sport where you have somebody who misses time, whether it's contract issues or injury or whatever it could be, once someone else steps into that spot and starts to build some chemistry, it's not easy to get your spot back. And Darlington will have some opportunities early on with that schedule compression that we've talked about. You're going to have MLS games going on alongside CONCACAF Champions League games. You're going to have to balance it. He'll get minutes, but he's going to have to perform to earn that time that he wants to earn.
With that said, Do we know what this was really about, or was this truly a personal matter?
Yeah, we don't. That's what's out there, is that it's a personal matter, and that's what Darlington and Frank both said, and everybody's moved forward from it. The word broke yesterday from a few different sources that it looked like it had been resolved and it was going to work itself out to where he would stay in Atlanta. And today it was unexpected that Darlington would take questions from the media, but he did. Mm. And you have to think that's a good sign about where everything stands. For him to put himself out there like that and take questions means that it looks like everything is good to go.
Jason Longshore is with us here, guys, live in studio, and you'll hear him down live in Costa Rica as they're taking on Herediano. You bet they are. And they'll be in that CONCACAF first
red and yellows.
And then they come up here, and we'll be playing at Fifth Third Bank in Kennesaw because Mercedes-Benz is booked. So Frank DeBoer's system, I mean, things we should be looking for. I know we asked you this. I mean, like, how does Julian Gressel fill in? How does Nagby fill in? Things that, you know, we're going to have to – does this maximize what we got with, you know, PT and a guy like – obviously, we know what we got with a guy like Joseph and Marco.
We were talking about it on Stoppage Time just a bit ago over on the Facebook Live. And when you break down into this roster and you look at starting lineups and potential starters, you have 15 guys that would be starters anywhere in this league. Mm. We only start 11, so that's a problem. It's a good problem, but it's a problem, and you have to manage those minutes. Escobar, out injured right now. He's a starter in this league. We know that. Breck Shea, George Bello, I think both of them are starters in this league, and there's only one spot that they'll be playing. Tito Villalba, right now, might be on the bench. He's a starter in this league. We know this, so how does it work out? The 3-4-3 is what we've seen primarily in preseason. It's a little different than what we saw last season. I think it allows this team to control possession, and I think it really suits the style that Frank DeBoer wants. Now, could we see 4-3-3 at times? Could we see 4-2-3-1, 3-5-2? Absolutely. I think we get really hung up here in the U.S. when we talk about tactics and put it to a formation. It doesn't have to be. Okay. You can play the same style of soccer in different formations that give you different looks. You know, it's like a, I don't know, this might not be the best comparison, but when you're looking at a team defensively, you look at the Falcons, right? And they want to play fast. They want to play aggressive. They want to be in your face. Well, they can do that from different looks. It's not the same base look every time. That's what Atlanta United can do. I think what they want to do is they want to control possession. They want to create chances. They want to defend intelligently. You can do that out of a 3-4-3 or a 4-3-3. It doesn't make a difference.
It is Jason Longshore joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we talk about CONCACAF and getting ready for the start of Atlanta United season. When we talk about, you know, the rotation, I guess we're just kind of wait and see thing, isn't it? I mean, we felt good about what we knew about Tata last couple of seasons based on what we learned. But this is kind of wait and see. So I say that because fans have asked me, well, what do you think he's going to do here? I don't know. I don't know. And I'm asking that because if anybody knows, it'd be you.
And I don't know, because you're going to see a competition early on with 7 matches in 28 days, I guess, up through St. Patrick's Day. If they get through Herediano and they get to the CONCACAF quarterfinal, you're looking at 7 matches. You also have a couple Atlanta United 2 matches where you could see some guys move over there, get a little bit of time to stay fresh. Everybody's going to get a look, whether it right now is an Andrew Carlton, a Gordon Wild, a Romario Williams, a Darlington Nagbe. Everybody's going to get these opportunities in the early portion of the schedule, and it's going to be down to how they perform and what they show on the field in terms of getting what DeBoer wants.
Barco, what should the expectation be for the 17s with Barco this season?
I think he can live up to the hype coming in, and it was a lot to ask last year. You're talking about a teenager who was the focal point of the build-up play for Independiente. Every time they looked to go forward, they looked to find him, play through him, let him figure it out. Here, that was never going to be the case. That's a different way of thinking. When you're used to having the ball played to you in the build-up at the beginning of it every time, and you're not the first option here. You're probably not the second option or the third option. Mm-hmm. That's a different mindset. You have to figure out where to put your stamp on the game. This year, I think he goes in more confident, better fit. I think the way we saw in the match against Tijuana with him and Petey Martinez and Joseph, lots of combination play, and that's what you're going to want. He's going to have to combine with his teammates.
I know it's just a scrimmage, if you will, but if you guys had a chance to watch online as we were watching some of the stuff live here in studio, it looked like I know it's the second time I've used it, but the Harlem Globetrotters of soccer, the kind of stuff you're seeing. It almost like, I don't know, it's against a younger group. Mm-hmm. Was it the B team?
It was the U-20s with some of the second team guys, okay. So with some of the reserves from the first team.
Man, it was fun to watch.
It was. It's and that's what you're set up. And it's 3-4-3 right now. It's so fluid. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about, we get so hung up on, is it 3-4-3 or 4-3-3? It doesn't matter. You watch the way they play, and this is a team that wants to entertain. They want to get forward. They want to score a bunch of goals, and they want to keep you from scoring by keeping the ball. You can't create a whole lot of chances if Atlanta United has possession at 60% of the game.
Hey, real quick, while we got you here, Jason Longshore's with us, guys. He and Michael have the call live from Herediano. How do you say it?
Herediano.
You're darn right you do, down there in the CONCACAF, man, down in Costa Rica.
Closer every time.
I'm getting there. I just got to spell it out phonetically. Herediano.
Herediano.
Thank you. See, I can't. You can't roll your R's, and I can't pronounce this town in Costa Rica.
I can't roll my R's.
Here's the deal. Miggy, so much fun to watch him get it. I mean, they love him already in Newcastle. How would you – I mean, it's only a small sample size. What do you think of him so far over there in EPL?
Well, we just saw him come on as a sub and looked really good. Looked like he made an impact in that match. And then they went away to do some kind of mid-season training because they were already knocked out of the FA Cup. And the reviews out of that stint were really good for Miguel Almiron. They come back into league play this weekend. They're facing Huddersfield, who's at the bottom of the Premier League table. It's a match Newcastle has to win.
Jason, real quick, we assume that all of our listeners and all Atlanta United fans understand what CONCACAF Champions League is. Let's assume they don't, because there are people listening right now going, yeah, I was at MLS Cup, but I have no idea what the hell you guys are talking about right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's assume that someone's listening right now to Dukes and Bell and they don't know. What is this tournament? It's a leg or a round of 16. Mm-hmm. We are one of, what, 4 other MLS teams that are involved in this, correct?
5.
Okay. So, with that said, I know nothing about this. Is it one and done? What's the tournament?
Okay. So, CONCACAF Champions League, if you've heard of the Champions League in Europe, it's the same idea. It is the best of the best in this continent. And CONCACAF oversees North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. So you have teams from all of those regions in this tournament.
Right.
It's predominantly dominated by teams from Mexico. They have won it, I believe, every tournament since 2005 when Saprissa from Costa Rica won it. So they've been the powerhouse. MLS is getting closer. They're not quite there yet. And for MLS to be the league that we all want it to be and be looked at around the world as the top league in this hemisphere, one of the top leagues, you got to win this. You have to win CONCACAF Champions League at some point because all the business numbers are great. The attendance numbers are great. The sponsorships are good. The transfer fees, all that's great. You're on a par with Mexico. Mm-hmm. You got to beat them. You have to win this type of competition. This is the best of the best, and it runs alongside your MLS season.
Right. And we always kind of use the analogy, it'd be like the Braves playing the Tokyo Giants midseason. You know what I mean? You're playing the best team from some other league, but it happens, it runs, because you said, concurrent with your present league as it goes on.
Yeah, you don't have an Atlanta pro sports comparison. There just isn't anything like this in other sports. Everything international competition in other sports is done with a national team type of situation. So this is Atlanta United going and representing MLS in this matchup. It's a round of 16, two legs like we saw in the postseason last year. You play the first leg in Costa Rica, second leg in Kennesaw. If you get past that, you're playing the winner of Monterrey and Alianza. Alianza's from El Salvador. Top team in El Salvador facing the top team in Mexico. That's a huge difference. And right. Monterrey is probably considered the favorite in this competition. Atlanta's among the top three favorites. So if you get that matchup in the quarterfinals, as good as it's going to be to start with Herediano, if you get past it, if Monterrey takes care of business, that is a heavyweight matchup that will grab everyone's attention all over this hemisphere.
The only thing is, Darren said, trophies matter, but when we had the U.S. Open Cup and we played the Fire here at Mercedes-Benz, we had a lot of Atlanta United backups.
Let's put it this way. Trophies matter. Some trophies matter more than others.
Okay.
So and this is one that matters more than others.
It's a bigger one.
Yeah, and it falls in the schedule. Like, you're not sacrificing MLS Cup for this because this is in February, March. MLS Cup's at the end. You can bounce back for that. Now, you don't want to have the injuries that Toronto had, and that's a lot of bad luck, a lot of injuries at one position that hurt them last season.
Great job, Jason, of explaining that. Wanted some of our listeners who may not be aware of it to get it. So when they're listening to you guys, they get a premise of what's going on.
And by the way, he is the answer, man. I can't say how many times. Like, it'd be 11:30 at night, 8 in the morning. Well, I'll text Longshore. He'll know the answer to this. And he doesn't sleep, Carl. He's like the Shell answer man.
I've almost blocked Mike Bell on Twitter for this. Almost.
Jason Longshore, guys. Follow him at Longshoe.